myself up and I'm stitching. And there's definitely something calm about pushing the needle in and pulling it out and pulling the thread through. It's sort of breathing. I'm installing a rhythm like a beat. It's quite slow. My eyes are focused. I'm looking at my stitches. I'm trying to keep them even, all the same length and straight. But I'm more just feeling it, really. Just doing it. All the movement and the energy, I suppose, is in the thread. That's what's doing the work. That's what's moving. That's what's marking. I'm just tooling it, deciding where to put the needle. It becomes about the thread. That's the focus of the work, in the sense work is being done with the thread to the sheet. Stops me thinking about me, like something's vacating, leaving space for my mind, that is. Same way as when you're in movement. My body is here, still. That's not in movement. My mind is here, but it's otherwise detached. I'm thinking of things I ought to be doing as well. Why does my sewing so often come accompanied with guilt? Guilty pleasure. All that will be seen, or all that will be there materialized in the passing time I spend doing this, will be the stitches. It's a way of marking time. Acknowledging time. The time is there, you have spent time doing it, and it can be seen. My fingers will end up with holes in again. My hands bear the mark of having done the labour. I usually end up with a hole and a callus on my third finger, middle finger. A callus there. And then a sore red, almost like a blister, on my index finger from rubbing against the needle. Pulling the needle through. The cloth is tightly woven, but it's not dense. It's certainly not impenetrable. I suppose I should wear a thimble. But I don't like wearing a thimble. I like to feel the accuracy of the needle to a filament thimble I can't get. This lovely thread, it doesn't knot. Occasionally it kinks. Waxy, it's linen, springy. I love the feel of this surface. It's not exactly warm, but it's not cold. It's not shiny and glazed. It's firm and springy. It has a nervousness. The needle through in other parts like a ribbon quivers like a little shudder, a shudder of pain as the needle goes through each time. The needle is sharp, it pierces, but using the needle, working the needle, dulls and numbs. It's not blissful, but it's not far off. Stitching through cloth, on cloth, along cloth, over cloth, all over cloth, and stitching, just plain stitching. I'm going in and out, in and out, in. Can see what I've done. The traces are there. And you can see how much you do in a certain amount of time. 6 lines in about 2.25 hours. Not very much. It's a running stitch, it's a sewing stitch, whereas coming the other way, going from left to right, I'm stabbing down with the left and up with the right. The effect is the same. When I look closely at the thread, it kind of leaves smudges in just around the holes. Not always, just sometimes. A bit like when you push a pen and you press down on the paper, like doing a dot, and it kind of smudges out if you hold a pen down too firmly, it kind of bleeds out, I suppose. And this thread's doing something a bit like that. Engineer difference and interest, but it's basically the same. You're pushing the needle in and pulling it out. Nothing is ever entirely the same. By hand, and that's what counts. And it'll be ours. It'll be mine. Like a voice, you can get people saying the same thing in the same way, even, and in the same language. But each voice will be different. You'd still be able to distinguish a particular voice from all the others, as with handwriting. Lull in the performance, lull in the conversation. Very much here. I'm not completely here. It transports me not to a different place or a different time or anything like that, but it just distances me from things that take up a lot of space in my life, or time, or effort, or worry, or that distance where things blur out. Be able to keep the stitches straight all the way down. So I'm doing the whole thing by eye, following what was done on the row before. I do find I think a lot about the materials, about the thread, how it's performing, how long I should cut it. I'm not really paying attention to the length I cut. Dishcloth. thread makes as it goes through, or as I pull it through, cloth doesn't slip through easily. It kind of scrapes and grates through. There is resistance. You do have to force it through. As a stitcher, you do exercise control. Every time you put the needle in and pull it out, it's you. You have decided where that is going to be. And if it's not right, it will be unpicked and done again. Think of sewing, think of seaming, where it's holding things together. If it's not done correctly, if it's not in the right position, if you've not pieced it together in the right way, then it might not work, it will fall apart. It won't hold together. Piecing lives, piecing situations, making wholeness, or mending the damage or the upset. If it's not done harmoniously, if it doesn't hold together, is greater in some cases than before. And of course, the fault could lie with you. Always there. I unroll it, set it up in the frame, and then it sits there waiting for me, and I start. And then the rhythm of the stitches punctuates the evening, or the afternoon. There's a certain kind of complicity, I suppose. The sheet is there, receptive. It lends itself to being stitched. But it's not tight like machine woven sheets are. They'd be quite difficult to put a needle through. It's softened, it's given in, it's not resisting. It already has a long established relationship with people. It has a past life. Belonged elsewhere, not to somebody else. They invariably do have other lives. They keep on living. So the transformation it goes through can be quite varied, constantly changing. And the stitching is holding it together. Stitching anchors it in some kind of path. It's like the footsteps on the journey. A piece of cloth starts off as a series of threads, and made into cloth, knitted or woven, starts its life. Cut into pieces and pieced together, and hemmed to be finished, to be completely contained, whole. Again. This is made a first time in France and made a second time in England, here in London. The second making of the sheet, I'm making over the first making. Thank you. difference on top of the one previous. The thread stitching is binding us together in some way. I'm very tightly binding myself up with it. Feel good. It's like making something. It also means that there's a physical barrier between you and the hurly-burly bustle. You can have a real reason for not being confused and swept off your feet by all the motion and the harassment and the solicitation that you get. Your body is busy and your mind is busy doing something. You are wholly occupied. You can keep everything else at bay, at least temporarily. It doesn't matter so much what you're doing or whether it's good or not, but doing it is so hugely important. Completely independently of what my hands are doing, what my body is doing, which is very still. My hands slowly moving, it's very rhythmic. I'm concentrating less on what I do. My mind is starting to wander. It moves rapidly and scatterly and in all directions at once, it seems. Writing. It's a leaving of a mark, making a trace, but stitching passes through it, it attaches. When you're sewing, it's attaching, seaming, it's binding two pieces of material together, strengthening. It's like speaking, in that spoken voice becomes sound and it passes through space. So the material becomes the space between you and the voice is joining to people within that space. In that sense, stitching can be thought of as communicative. Stitching as joining, as making good. But yet every tiny stitch is a violent gesture, piercing with the needle, piercing in an exacting way, pulling through the thread, straining it. There's nothing very gentle about actually piercing cloth with the needle. And it's done in such a deliberate way, repeatedly. How the cloth must hurt. Traces are always there, you can never get rid of them. The traces of unpicked stitches become more visible than the stitches themselves were before they were unpicked. In undoing the work, you reveal the work that was done. For a few days. I've lost the rhythm. I have to get back into it. I feel a little bit clumsy. But it'll come back to me as I get used to it. Not just the gesture, just the stitching, which you have to get used to again. It's the materials. I'm just feeling as I stitch, pushing the needle through. It feels a little bit strange to me, the resistance of the material as I push the needle through. I'm having to find again how much pressure I need to put on the needle as I push it through. It's not come automatically and naturally. I have to find it again. And the rhythm of the stitches as well, paying attention. And the gap between the rows. The banality of it. It's not that banal. I have to think about it. I have to find myself in the piece. Like I have to work to merge with the piece. I find my way, or I'm finding my way, into the piece, again, by paying attention to what I'm doing, my plying my needle is the means by which I find myself back into the piece. There is a moment of wrestling with it, of having to draw up from somewhere that knowledge that I have that enables me to ply my needle, that enables me to find my way back into the piece. Where I put the needle, where I poke it through, I'm slightly hesitant, not just about where I poke it, but how I hold the needle between my fingers. And it's minimal, but I notice there is a fumbling. The sound of the thread changes as I use it up. When I start, the sound is long and deep. And then as I get towards the end of the thread, it becomes shorter and sharper and slightly higher pitched. All these little sounds that I'm making, I would normally take for granted. Modalities, punctuation, and phrasing. The snip of the scissors, which marks a beginning, because I've snipped the thread that I'm going to use. I'm not cutting it at the end, as I would sometimes do. And then there are the long drawing out of them, pulling the thread through to make the stitches. It's a long pull, like a big heaving a sigh, but the result is just a small mark. It's like the effort needed is far greater than what is left in its wake. But that is reduced as I use up the thread. So the heaving of the sigh becomes shorter and sharper, more like a quick intake of breath. And there's the placing of the needle. It's a kind of catching, dipping in and up, scooping movement. It's essentially two dots. You make two holes, an in and an out hole, a bit like dot to dot drawing. Make the dots, and then the line's drawn. Always gone before. It might be the case that somebody has woven it, or it might be that somebody has joined the fabric. It's always living, it's always going somewhere. It's very rarely a static object. To talk of it as a static object is to ignore all that it is in many ways. It just becomes reduced to its material properties. So much of what it is, what it contains, is hidden. But somehow always there. It's embedded in the cloth. It will become experienced in other hands, in other ways, for other reasons. Even with my hands, because I don't just stitch it each time. I unroll it, I fix it in the frame, then I take it off and I roll it back up. It's constantly manipulated. When I take it out, I will fold it, and then unfold it, and refold it. Somebody else might unfold it, then refold it. Sometimes it's tight, sometimes it's slacker. And when it's slack, when you get to the end, it's quite difficult to push the needle through, because there's little tension to resist. And so I have to grab it with my hand. A grabbing, grasping, gripping action with the hand. It's the whole hand grasps the cloth to take a firm hold until I get to the very end, when it's more delicate. And then it's just between the fingers. always so good to return to stitching. I'm so familiar with stitching, cutting thread and threading needles, and passing needle through cloth. I know it so well. Rhythmic breathing. And its sigh at the end. When I get to the end of the thread, pull it through and pull the needle out. Doing, I don't need to figure out what to do. When your mind is only half on what you're doing, you sort of half switch off and you just go, you just do it. Time goes by and the work is done. And it's almost like a kind of protection mechanism that allows you to do it, certainly when it's very repetitive. Your hands remember how to do it. They know what to do. It can drive you mad doing it. And I do think there's a limit to how much you can do of this kind of work a day, continuously. It would certainly hurt physically. Really ache. Every stitch that I make, my hands and my eyes are very focused on that tiny piece of the cloth. So I'm always in this big sea of fabric, completely absorbed and focused on a tiny piece of it. And even though it moves, it always looks the same. So there's actually very little to distinguish one centimetre square of the cloth from another centimetre square of the cloth. It's a kind of tiny little dance step on the same spot, like a kind of ballerina's tippy toe movement. I don't know what it's called, but when they're up on their points and making tiny, tiny little shuffling movements with their toes on the spot, all that intense energy and weight is concentrated in that one little spot. The small repetitive gesture, the tiny little mark, the movement within the much larger whole. Sheet spreading out, I can see the scale of the whole. I'm stitching for relief. Comfort in my stitching today. Comfort in the simplicity of it. The plainness of it. boringness of it. A real sense of focus, concentrated in the point of the needle. All is concentrated in that tininess, precision and focus. But at the same time, there is a sense of openness and release, an unbounded space. Being still, being in one place, but at the same time moving in your mind, and that is captured in the stitches that are left as witnesses. Each little stitch is a captured moment of being. There's all these tiny traces, each one a moment, or a confirmation of a moment, an affirmation of a moment.